July 17th, 1981. And we're in the project office in Barrow, talking to Roxy Ikhwana and Ross Ungnasak about the history of Barrow. Do you have any old photos of Utqiagvik that we could look at or copy? What was there about this area around Utqiagvik that made this a good place to have a village?
The way we understood or think about that since we were little boys, the reason why the people like to live in Barrow is that it is a good spot to hunt, especially for whales, either in spring and in the fall. Also, along with the whales, the sea mammals, walrus and polar bears, seals, ugus, and animals like that. Also, from here, they can also go towards up inland and a little ways from here also, up the rivers, they can also do some fishing.
There was a thing that you discussed the other day that I'd like to go over again. It was about where was the original settlement, and then where did the people move to next? We were talking about Piganik and Nuuk, and then Utqiagvik. And I wonder if we could just discuss that a little bit.
The way he heard about it from the ancestors, this part here at the old dwelling place, there were nobody living at the time. The way he heard it, is the people used to live down the coast, which is called Nunavak, about 4 miles down from here, and also at the shooting station, at which we call Pernik. And while they were living in those places, some hunters would go to this spot here, which we call Utqiagvik, to snare those snow owls. That's why they call it Upqiagvik, where people go to hunt Upqiagvik.
Then they also either moved to, or at a time they lived at Point Arnuvuk, Point Barrow. Was that at the same time that they were living at those other two places?
The way he heard it, especially from his mother, who lives here at Barrow all her life. And there were also the people living at Nuuk, and there were also quite a people there living at Pernik and also at Nunavak at the time, before any of the people started to move to Utqiagvik here.
Do you have any idea, like a date when people would have been moving and starting a village here?
Well, it comes right to my top from Kisuni, Kanutu Sivis, Tiruani, Temani, Bukir Pian, Tilamat, Nun Matakama. This I don't know myself how many years ago they have started to move.
Sure was.
It was before your mother's time, probably.
Well,
way, way before.
My mother never said anything about that.
Oh.
This story is what we heard is from what we hear only. Nobody ever indicates how many hundreds of years or thousands of years ago has happened.
But where were your parents from? You said your mother was from Barrow or lived here all her
Point.
Life? She was from the Point?
Yeah, I knew.
Oh, and your father?
Maybe my father came from the other place. I don't know exactly what place. Anyway, he moved here and took over my mother.
Who were the traders that were working around Barrow when you first started to remember things?
Ever since my eyes opened, you see, I see old man Bauer. This time is Bauer's father. He was a trader right here. And after I don't know how many years, there's another, Charlie Hansen, had a store right here too. Just I don't know how many years later, from Bauer.
Charlie Hanson.
Charlie Hanson.
Was that what they called the native store?
No.
Is it ever right?
This one was partnered with Captain Backlund. They had a wreck right here, and they go down to Nunavak. That old man Backlund got a sail, four masted sailboat. They hit the ice when they take off. And they go down to Nunavak. That's what Charlie Hanson started trading post. I don't know how many years later.
He started it with the things that were on that ship?
Well, there's an Eskimo used to run the store here named John Kumusik. And when that poor Matthew Sales boat wrecked, Charlie Hanson take over.
We have talked about the first traders once before.
Yeah.
I think this is the one that I have missed about the storekeeper who was managing John Backlund's senior store. Before that time, before Brower's time, we hear, according to the people, I hear that there were some traders that comes up, like old whalers that winters up here at the time, and they set up some trading posts. One of them they called Kelly.
Mm.
You mentioned him before.
Yeah, I mentioned that before. That was before Brower's time. The one that he mentioned of Brower keeping the store, he worked for Liebe's company. We know that very well when we were little boys and we grew up with it. And while he was working for Liebe's company, that four-masted sailing ship would come up each summer. And like he mentioned, that John Kumusik, a native, kept the store for John Backlund, just in a small warehouse. And during those years, I think I have heard the year when his boat was wrecked, about 4 miles down at Nunavak.
That was Backlund's boat?
Yeah, Backlund's four-masted schooner.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
Transit.
Oh, yeah.
I remember so well, my mother take me along to, while they are salvaging the cargo from the boat. They had to have someone to cook for the crew, so they selected my mother to do the cooking for the crew. I went along with her, and later I find out from one of the young men that the year was 1913. That was when I was 6 years old. And that time, most of the crew of that boat had to winter here when Captain John Backlund himself hired a sailboat, a whaling boat, a small whaling boat, with some crew to take him down to Nome. So the ones who are left behind, he leave word that they set up a building here and put up the store, and managed by Charlie Hanson. That's the one that he mentioned. And after that, some years later, the store, which is called Native Store, started up back in 23, I think.
Aye.
1923, me showed another list of them, a Native Store.
Somebody, Native Store, some.
In 21, I think the first Native store started. It was U.S. Coast Guard credit bear, as they call it, that bring in small supplies for the Native store. They don't even have something else like baking powder or no coffee, no tea probably.
I think they have tea and flour, those two exactly I know. I used to hear they don't have any baking powder.
For the flour.
Yeah, they saw this. That's the time when the Native store was first started.
Yeah, who started that store?
The natives themselves.
Yeah.
The natives owned reindeer at the time. What the teacher here was suggesting to the natives who had reindeer, to butcher the best good and fat steers to be sold to the trading ships. And they sell the carcasses already dressed up to the traders in summer. And what they make money out of those meat used to order some goods so they can start the Native store. That's how it was started. Along with that, the price of meat, there was a man by the name of Pausana who has trapped on the Canadian side. He goes up with some of the boats and winter there. Some few years, I think. And then when he came back at the time, he's got quite a few fox skins, which he brought back. So he put in some into that money, and he was the most shareholder at the time. That's what started it.
Would that be Paul Pausana?
Yeah.
Paul.
That's Paul Pausana.
Do you remember who the other people that would have been involved along with him were at that time?
Kun je lukt hem, ik denk het kan wel wat er hem, het kan wel wat af komen. Kun je het horen?
Nee, kom je niet kiemen dat, maar ik wou kun je lukt hem maar. Toen is hij met dat, ik zei ik. Kun niet kalo amelwa taro bakujelo. Ik zag aan mijn mamio. Tamat kun niet meer, maar om je paaien te lusje, ik zou maar blunen. Ik zou maar niet kalo schoenen aan mijn. Kadak tomat kun tamat kwam, maar schapie weer moet แต่มันทุลักแบบธรรมะกว่ามันละก็ยกต้องมาดูในที่ตัวมันเอาหลังนิ่ม
ปนิยุตกุด
นี่ปนิยุตกุด
ปนิยุมุลุตกุด
ทั้งหมด
เวลาเราเต็มชุบลุตกุดทั้งหมดจะพอหยุดกุด
นี่ช้าปัดกุดขันกันนะอาก็เนี่ยช้าปัด
ชุบไม่รู
้เป็นยังไงอยู่นี่บ้านเสียหูเนี่ยธรรมะกว่ากี่มันละ
ผมนี่มีคุกันนุ่มลุกิทุนี้มันจะเอาหลานในชุด
มวยกุดมาจะมัดกว่า
อี
กไปข้างหน้าจะมาก็จะโตวิ่งก็you have heard about the wreck belonged to the Stevenson expedition party.Back in
Port Carlock?
Yeah, Miss Carlock. What's his name? Stevenson? Yeah.
Stevenson.
Yeah, Stevenson is the one who managed the crew. But on that Carlock, they had some natives.Were hired to be the hunters, and a man with his wife there. They picked up from here. I think the way he suggested that, well, he have heard that Harrison Kudreluk is the one that was with the boat along with his wife, and Stevenson hired them.That he should be the hunter for the expedition if they wanted out somewhere up the coast, and his wife to be the seamstress. So when they got drifted away, and they landed near Wrangel Island.The boat was crushed there, and the way he thought that Kudreluk must have been paid by Stevenson and put in some money into the store also when he came back, along with the Jimmy Kudreluk.
Yeah,
that was one of the two.That put in some money, along with the reindeer owners that had reindeer at the time and sell the meat, like we suggested.
Yeah. Who were the herd owners at that time?
The herd owners were, Talk was the chief herder at the time, but for some reason he may not have put in reindeer or meat.For that purpose, we don't know. We may be wrong. But Bert Panigil, Lee Sublu, Hilton Paulina, some others I don't remember.Some others pitch in.
And who was the school teacher at that time?
The school teacher at the time was Delbert W. Cram. He's the one that teaches these people and urged them to start the native talk.
When I talked to Sarah Kunatnana some time ago, she talked about her father having a little store out at Putu near Nuiqsut, and showed me his boat that's out here at Shooting Station. It's a ruin.
Yeah.
That he used to take things back and forth to Colville area. She did not mention this, his association with the store here.
Town of Tednet of Alubo, we have to tell him up on it. She took a howl on a blue, cover a putume. Some horse ring in Yago, Alu. One is to him, he saw him at a long up on it. I some time a limerick. Limerick production.
Yeah, I think that's a wicked thousand.
We remember so well, both of us, because he was the largest shareholder for the store at the time, and during the time his share increases. When Pausina came back from Canada or so, he moved back again to Prudhoe Bay, and then on to Coupic. Then he began to think about putting up a store where he could do business at Coupic, at Putum, the way like Sarah Kunanana recalls. So he decided to sell all his store, all his stock, and trade with the goods. He had a boat, the one that you mentioned. It's got a 20-horse engine. Yeah. At the time. So he sell all his stock and trade for the goods from the native store. That's why his stock was out at the time. And he set the store at Putu. And he don't last only 2 years, I think. He go broke.
Well, nobody take care of the papers. He didn't know what he's doing. We went over there, money. I'd love to know the Galera. Machperano, I'm not sure if you flew. I mean, I'd be you a sassy mother. This is my ego. I left the long ago. Malinat.
Johnny Aiken was his older brother, which is a half-breed. He has worked, we remember, he has worked for Charlie Hansen once before when he was managing the store for John Backlund. And at the time when Posner started to put up a store at Coupic, he was trying to hire Johnny, so he could do the paperwork for him, but he did not, for some reason.
Where was that native store located?
The native store was located right almost at the spot where right in between the new police station and the hotel. It was
right where the street is now.
Yeah, where the street is right now.
Yeah.
But when it was first started, they had a little shop at the second floor of the old school, which has burned down back in 28. And from there, once they get started, the store manager that was hired by the people was Roy Amawa. He had his own house. So he built another addition to his house in order to have the store right there. And from there, it moved to Bert Carnegie House when he became the manager. And later on, they built a new store right close to it, right between from where, right where the street is, I think, between the hotel and the new police station there.
When did that store go out of business?
In the 70s.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
Pretty recent then.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, there was another store, you said. You mentioned another store besides the native store that was run by, that was back once.
Yeah.
So there were two stores, plus Brown's.
Yeah. I don't know when. The Brower store was competing with Hansen, who was the manager from the for the Backland store. They were competing, and the business was not so good for Mr. Hansen at the time. So, rather than losing out, he sold his business to Brower. Yeah. That was back in 1918 or 19, close to that.
Where was that store located?
That store was located right on the street by Jones's house there, right in the corner.
Jones.
It doesn't exist now. Years later, back in 35, that building was there, owned by Brower.
And he was still running it as a store at that time?
Yeah, he's got the other store at the time for Leibitz and Company, the one who he worked for. That house was so old, and I hear that somebody bought it, and it was Steve Hobson. And when his father died, rather than having two houses, he just decided not to buy it. So when I hear that, because he was my brother-in-law at the time, he gave me the word, and here was my chance. And I go see Brower, and I bought it from him. That's why it's not out there now. It's in a different location, remodeled.
Is that your house now?
Yeah, part of it, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. When Brower bought out Hansen's store, did he keep running Hansen's store, or did they just move the stock over to...
Just moved the stock over, along with some warehouses. They tore them down and rebuilt them over there, just leaving the store building itself at the same location.
So Hansen had difficulty competing with Brower.
Yes.
And sold out to Brower.
Yeah.
Then there was only one store.
Yeah, one store.
Then the native people got together.
Yeah.
And started us. They started up a second store.
Yeah.
Themselves, over in this part of town.
Yeah.
Did the native store send out traders out along the coast?
Yeah.
The first ranch they set up was at the Tulimanik, about how many miles was that? Where the old site is.
It's not far from Cape Simpson.
Cape Simpson is the bay this side of Cape Halkett.
Yeah, okay. What was the name of the place?
Tulimanik.
Tulimanik.
Yeah. There were a few people there living at the time, trappers, like Roy Mawa, Arthur Neil Hoffman, a few others, Steve Hobson. There were also some trappers just beyond that Cape Simpson, Cape Halkett, and along Pitt Point there. People scattered over there, and they are the ones who would come down to Tulimanik instead of going clear down to Barrow. My dog team, they would trade also from that store at the time.
Who was it? Who ran the store at Tulimanik?
Roy Amawa was the one who ran the store at the time. Oh yes, he was one of the stockholders at the time.
Do you know how long that lasted, that particular outpost?
Not too many.
It didn't last not too long. Quite a few years.
Just a few years.
Maybe not more than 5 years.
No.
During the night. This would be during the
1900s. Well, I used to work. We were hard out. Good. From here to Tulimanik?
My dog team or boat?
We used to haul it with a launch, a motorboat. Some what they kind of have in the winter. Some food, some ammunition.
Yeah, you'd supply them in the summer with what they needed so they could get through the winter?
Yeah.
So that would have been, was this in the 1920s?
Later than that.
After my horse was up in the middle.
Thirties and forties. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Starting with case of me. That given it to my tamauna.
In the late 30s.
Pingaro.
Late 30s.
Did you have another outpost besides that one at Tulimanik?
Yes. There is one bought from Peterson at Beecher Point. That store has started first by Liebes Company when Tony Edwardson the partner for Charlie Hansen at the time, decided to get away from Hansen. He rebuilt the boat with two masts. Then load it up with goods and go up east. He had my uncle to help him, who was also working at the same time, like his brother.
Yeah, what was your uncle's name?
John Toklak. He's got just one arm. The other arm is gone. I just don't know exactly the year, probably in 17 or 18. He decided
to... We were working, but we had done the bill.
Yeah, 17, we kept him. Finished him at 18 million in Europe.
Hmm.
1 year later, some of our learning. He take a girl with him at the time. Old Brower's daughter-in-law, stepdaughter. His wife's daughter before she married Brower. He took that girl along with him. And he worked for himself at the time. He was the store at Kuruk, just in that bay, which they called Harrison Bay. And after that, he moved to Uluktuk on his own business. And later, back in 23, Liebe's company hired him with the new building which he set up at Beachy Point. And that store was owned by Liebe's company at the time until later on the one who bought it and was Captain Peterson, after he was gone, stopped doing any business over there, and another man took over. That was John Smith. And when he died, Native store here bought that place.
When did Jack Smith die?
Yeah. Jack Smith died in '43. And at that time, Native store bought the place. Until they decided not to run it because people who lived in that area started to move to Barrow. It was when the Navy got here to do some surveying and drilling, started looking for oil. People started to move down here at the time. And there is another small branch that was also working at the time, run by a Native store, which is at Barter Island.
He took the company
Oli kirjan näyttäjäksi, mä sanoin, että sitä on näyttävä suva. Saksi, mä sanoin, että oli näyttävä. Itupsi vuoni.
Itupsi vuoni, piirissä, kun jää uudelleen, itu. Se oikein, niin me oli semmoinen maa, niin kavani piirissä semmoisen vaksi, niin sitä on hamaru. Agla semma
chat
e panga ham hila umiam ata ham
ata nam
e khano khuni yuni wa tilagna luiga umiam ton luni bi shaqta wa khuni khaira mata
wani
sto khasa wa to
nan nam umiam ton man pi je se ata nak tamen na panna liu tinga pakhlugi ma khakit cham silgo ke bolani kula amal nimuro uma khumun yayu tamna tamna tamen
tamen ya nuwame istu rakhsim man there was at the time Jack Smith is the one that came down the river through Colville from the interior. He's got a homemade boat, a flat bottom boat. He must have probably bring in some few goods with him and start living